Our scripture reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 10 to 16. Hebrews 13 verses 10 to 16. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. May God bless the reading and hearing of his word this morning. Please be seated. Our title this morning is The Sacrifice of Praise. We're going to look a little bit at this passage, and we're also going to do some other things, which we'll talk about in a minute. But we're going to begin with prayer. Father, we come to you in this place that you have provided for us to praise you, to learn of you, to fellowship, and to do so in freedom. And Father, today is a day that we have set aside to remember Christ. To remember what he has done. To remember who he is. To remember our responsibility in light of who he is and what he has done. And so Father, I ask your blessing on our service. I ask that you would be with my words and speech. That I would communicate clearly, effectively, and passionately the truth of your word. And I ask, Lord, that when everything is said and done today, Christ would be glorified and the saints would be equipped to do the work of ministry. We thank you and we praise you for what you have planned. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The book of Hebrews is a very special book in Scripture. We could say that about all of them, but anyways, Hebrews presents to us the superiority of Christ. Okay? Bruce Wilkinson and Kenneth Boa write this about what Hebrews demonstrates. It demonstrates that Christ offers a better revelation, a better position, better priesthood, better covenant, sacrifice, and power. Within Hebrews, we see that Christ is superior to angels. He is superior to the law of Moses. He's superior to the animal sacrifice. He has a superior priesthood. He has a superior everything, right? And that is what Hebrews teaches us. In Hebrews 13, the author is wrapping up his letter. And we find our passage that we're going to look at in his kind of summation of everything that he has presented in this book. He has presented the superiority of Christ, and now he's going to spend some time reminding us of who Jesus is, of what he has done, and how we should respond to him. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to reflect on who our great God and Savior Jesus Christ is. We're going to reflect on what he has done and on our response to him. Why? Why are we going to do that? Well, because it is fitting and right for us to praise him. Amen? Okay. God has been doing some amazing things here at Grace Church. He's been doing some amazing things in our lives. And so we need to praise our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so with that, we're going to be highly interactive this morning. I'm going to talk briefly about each section, and then you are going to share. Now, notice I don't say I'm going to give you an opportunity to share. I'm going by faith that you will share, okay? I will ask that you will, Ben's going to have a microphone to give you, and if you would talk into that so that everyone can hear your praise and what you have to share, I'd greatly appreciate that. Don't be intimidated by that, okay? We're a family. We're the body of Christ in our fellowship here. So if you have something to share, you should want everyone to hear it. And so for that, we have a microphone. So, and then we're going to close the service with communion. Why? Because communion is the celebration of who Christ is, of what he has done, and of what we're supposed to do about it. So we want to begin with praise for who God is. Before you turn to Revelation 1:8, Let me make some comments here in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, let me read these verses again, verses 10 to 16. Hebrews 13, 10 to 16. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. What does this tell us about who God is? It tells us that He's exclusive. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Not a way, the way. Okay? Verse 11, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest of sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gate. Who is our God? He's our sacrifice. Therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. He is also our offering. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. We'll talk about that in a minute. He's our sanctifier. And then look down at verse 16. But do not forget to do good and to share. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is pleased when we treat others well and when we sacrifice of ourselves for them. That is part of who He is. But in talking about who He is, look at Revelation 1:8. Revelation 1:8. Now we understand that all of Scripture is God's self-revelation, all right? All of Scripture is God presenting to us who He is, okay? But there's something really awesome when we get to hear it straight from His mouth, as John does here in Revelation 1:8. Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. We're talking about who God is. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Alpha and Omega are two letters of the Greek alphabet, and it is the first and the last letter. So other places He says He's the first and the last. This is the same idea, right? He's the beginning and the end. So what, right? What does that mean? It means this to me talks of His sovereignty, right? He has everything under control. He knows the end from the beginning. Why does He know the end from the beginning? Because He's already there. He is the end and the beginning, right? He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. Not just that He has seen it, but He is the beginning and the ending, right? So He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the one who is, was, and is to come. What does this tell us? He is eternal. He is eternal. Right? He has always been, and He always will be, and I love that He puts in there, is to come. He's coming back, right? We sang about that. There's an old hymn that says, coming again, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon, He's coming again. So He's the one who is, right? He is now. He's not just the kind of God that some people believe in who started spinning the earth and then backed off to see what would happen. God is intimately involved in our lives. Okay? He was, He's the one who has done all things, and He is to come. He is the Almighty. The Almighty. This speaks to me of His omnipotence. There's nothing God can not do. Right? When He came to Abraham and Sarah and He told them that they were going to have a son and they did not receive the news well, He said to Abraham, is there anything too hard for Me? Abraham, is there anything too hard for Me? And you know what? We are Abraham, right? Things happen in our lives and we get all bent out of shape and we get all worried, and I picture God going, is anything too hard for Me? Just give it to Me. Would you just give it to Me? I'll take care of it. Right? There's nothing too hard for Him. There's nothing He cannot do. And so I want to take some time and give opportunity for people to share who God is. Who is God in your life? And I'll start so that you kind of give you time to think. One of the things that is always so awesome to me is that God is omniscient, which means he is all-knowing. And that means he knows everything about me, and he still loves me. Folks, that's a big deal, okay? Jeremiah writes that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I'm here to tell you that applies to this heart too, okay? God knows me completely and absolutely, and he loves me anyway. So someone else share praise for who God is. We're going to give praise for what he's done in just a minute, but praise for who he is. He is the creator and the sustainer, and he's in control. Amen. All right, well, we're going to move to where we're going to sing, and then we're going to move to another section, and you'll have more time to share then as well. Behold our God. That last verse gives us kind of a transition into what we want to talk about next. You can be seated. And that is praise for what God has done. Praise for what God has done. Again, we're going to look in Hebrews 13 first. Hebrews 13, and except that I moved away from that. Okay, Hebrews 13, 10. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. And this makes me realize and remember the exclusive access that we have to God. You can't get to God through animal sacrifice. You can't get to God through a system of legalism to adherence to anything else. You can't get to God through worship of anything other than Christ. Okay? And then we have verse 12, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. He shed his blood for our sin. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. He sanctifies us. He suffered for us. He takes our sin away. And then he says, We have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Where does that come from? Jesus said, I'm going to return to the Father, right? But if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, right? In his Father's house, there are many rooms. He is building us a dwelling. And when he comes back for us, his bride, he's going to take us up to be with him forever. And then he is pleased when we sacrifice to do good and other to others and to share. Look at Hebrews 1. So turn to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to learn some. There's lots of places when we're talking about what God has done. There are a lot of places we could go, right? But there's some very unique things that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 through 3 that I wanted to look at this morning. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. So what we learn is that God speaks through his word. God still speaks to us today, as Jerry mentioned earlier, right? This is God's word. Okay? Now this is very important. Okay? So follow with me here. This does not contain God's word. Because if we say it contains God's word, then we're implying that some of it might not be God's word. It is God's word. Okay? This does not become God's word. There are some people that teach that it only becomes God's word as it is effective in your life. Okay? No, this is God's word, whether I believe it or not, whether I obey it or not, and whether it changes my life or not. Now, if you believe it and you obey it, it will change your life. Okay? This is God's word. So he says that God spoke to the men of old through the prophets, right? They're the ones who wrote scripture. They still speak to us today. But then he says that God speaks through the person and work of Christ. Look at verse 2. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. God speaks through the person and work of Christ. And we also see there that God created all things through Christ, as Bill mentioned, right? Through whom he made all things. We find this all over the New Testament, by the way. It's in Colossians, it's in Corinthians, it's almost every single New Testament epistle affirms creation, okay? And often they teach that we're created by Christ. Christ upholds all things. Again, in Colossians, it says, in him all things consist or hold together. Jerry mentioned that earlier. Then, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Christ purged our sins. Peter says the precious blood of Christ being much more precious than of gold that perishes. He says that Christ bore our sin in his own body on the tree. He purged our sins. And then he says he's seated at the right hand of God. What is he doing there? He's interceding for us. This is part of what he's doing. Seated at the right hand of God. He's seated because his work is finished. He's seated at the right hand of the Father because that is the seat of equality and power. But then he says, Well, the implication is that he's coming back, right? One day. That we're told the trumpet will sound in Corinthians 15. The dead will be raised incorruptible in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. He is going to return. And so I want us to take some time to share what God has done. So we talked a little bit about who he is, and we shared some of what he has done, but specifically I want to share what he has done at this time. And again, this is our response. We praise God for what he has done. And I say this almost every time we have a business meeting, but I'm going to say it again. God has kept the doors of Grace Church open. And some of you have heard, some of you may not have, but there have been several moments where we've been real close to not doing that. Okay? And yet God, now this is one of the things that are nerve-wracking about our God. You ready? He does it right at the right moment, not when we want him to, right? Just at the right moment, he has brought people into our fellowship here to keep us going, to keep us going, to keep us going. And now he is growing us, and he's going to, I believe, bless us even more than we could ever ask or think. Why do I believe that? Because that's what Scripture says. Okay? So just when we need it, not a moment sooner, God blesses and he keeps us going. And so all of us now are Grace Church. Right? We're not the old and the new. We're not different things like that. We are Grace Church of Lockford. All of us are Grace Church of Lockford. And we need to wrap our heads around that and think of ourselves like that. All right? So, some of you, what has God done? I know that for many of us, if we were to sit and share everything that God has done, we'd be here for days, right? But just as I look back, today marks 9 years that Jessica and I have been here at Grace Church of Rockford. Okay, it's this Sunday is the anniversary of that. And I will tell you that is a testament to the grace of God. There are times when, had it relied on human strength, we would have said, we're out. And yet, through friends, through family, God made it so clear, you're not done yet. And by the way, he's still saying that just to relieve any fears, right? We're not done. We don't have the freedom to go anywhere else because God says, I still got work for you to do. Okay? And I'm so thankful to look back over 9 years and to see God's provision so many times in miraculous ways for me and for my family, for this church, to see him graciously and lovingly and carefully leading us along each step of the way. You know how the song goes, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. And sometimes we felt the water was up to here, right? And sometimes we felt that fire, and yet God in his faithfulness walked us every step of the way. And so I don't look back on 9 years and go, yeah, we're pretty awesome. I look back on 9 years and go, wow, we're pathetic, but we serve an awesome God. Amen? Amen. So we're going to sing about our awesome God, because the biggest thing that we praise him for is what? Christ. And so we're going to sing about him, and he is God's perfect lamb. You know, one of the things I'm so thankful for is that God makes all of us different, right? Because some of us, we don't know if, can we really clap our hands in church, right? And so we're like, the ceiling might fall. You know what? That's okay. We want you to be comfortable praising and worshiping our God how you want to praise and worship our God. Okay? I'm not going to tell you, thou must clap. No. We clap sometimes and we don't other times. That's fine. I raise my hands. Some people don't. That's fine. Okay? I'm so thankful for God's perfect lamb. And I love that it's the beginning of this verse right here. At God's appointed time, right? Isn't that what we were just talking about? I'm sure there were people going, I think it's time, Lord. Isn't that what we're doing? You said you were coming back, and I think I know when you should come. Right now! He has a perfect time. And beloved, he has things he wants to accomplish in my life, in your life, in our families, in our friends, in our country, in our world. Don't give up on him. He's going to come back when he's ready, when the time is right. I want to spend some time in prayer for current needs. And again, we're going to talk just a little bit from Hebrews 13, and then we'll have time to share. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. We've done that. That's what we've been doing. We've been praising him for who he is. We've been praising him for what he has done. To God, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. We have expressed our thanks. Our response to God and to who he is must be praise. When we study God's word, when you come to the theology class, when you come to Sunday school, when you come to church, and you learn of who God is, it should make us go, hallelujah! Whoo! What a God we serve! Right? Our response to what he has done must first be faith, and then hallelujah. Right. We anticipate that God has much more to do in the future. He's not done. He's not finished. The final verse in this section exhorts us to do good and to share. Part of doing good and sharing is bearing one another's burdens through prayer. Look at Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18, there are some who debate whether or not this Ephesians 6:18 is part of the armor of God. I think this is one of the essential pieces of the armor. Okay, so he's just gotten done telling us about the armor of God, and then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Prayer is part of the armor of God. Okay, prayer is part of the armor of God. And he says, to pray always. That means that you're supposed to walk around with your eyes closed and your hands folded all the time, right? Preferably on your knees, you know, kind of crawl around, right? No. What it means is that we keep short accounts with God, and we are always able to pray at any time. And that in our minds and in our hearts, we're communing with God. We're communicating with him all the time. We see a piece of trash. Lord, thank you that I can pick that up and throw it away for somebody else. We see a shopping cart that somebody left out, which happens all the time and really irritates me. And I can say, thank you, Lord, that I have the ability to take their shopping cart and push it into the rack, because they must not have been able to, right? Because we don't need to say to ourselves, ugh, some jerk left their shopping cart in the way. What if they were disabled? We don't know. And I say this having gone to the store this morning and seen the cards and going, oh, why are there three cards in the parking spot that I want to get in, right? And then I'm reminded to say, no, I have the ability to put those cards in the cart return. Right? Thank God for that. Right? Pray always. Someone comes to you and they say, man, I'm really struggling this week. Stop right there and pray. We mentioned this a few weeks ago. I've prayed with people in the Walmart parking lot. I've prayed with people in the entryway. I've prayed with them in hospital rooms, in their houses. Praying always means when you hear about an issue, don't just say, oh, I'll be praying for you. Pray then. And then pray later. Right? So praying always with all prayer and supplication. This is the idea of pray specifically. Okay? Supplication is this idea that there are specific requests that you are taking to the Lord. You pray for specific needs. Okay? So when it says praying always, he's talking about in general. And then when he says with supplication, he's saying make specific requests. Someone says, my water heater went out. We pray for their water heater. Right? We pray for the repairman. We pray for an opportunity for them to tell the water repairman about Christ while he's sitting there working because he's a captive audience, right? Pray specifically. Pray in the Spirit. This is a good one. 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Someone says, I have two perfectly good working vehicles, but I would like a Ferrari. Praying in the Spirit would say, probably not. That's probably not something that you need, right? Pray in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit as you pray. One of the nights that we were gone on our trip, Andrew did not want to sleep. And it was several nights, as Jess was saying. Just one night? Several nights. But one night in particular, he's just crying and crying and crying. We've both tried rocking him. We've tried holding him. We've tried all these things. And these are the times of our lives where we lose our sanctification, right? We're just upset. So finally I pick him up and I'm just frustrated. I'm pacing across the room and I seem to hear this voice be like, well, why don't you pray for him? You know, it's been an hour and a half. This is the first time I think of praying for my son who's been crying this whole time, right? So I start praying for him. And I'm walking around this room praying for my family and praying for each of them, and I don't even notice when he falls asleep in my arms. Now he woke back up the second I put him down, but we can pray, right? Pray in the Spirit. That was the Spirit leading me to pray, because it took an hour and a half for me to get the message, right? Pray with perseverance. Pray with perseverance. Don't give up. As Diane shared, the 11th hour, sometimes people come to Christ. Don't give up. Keep praying. If there's a need in your own life, don't give up. Keep praying. The old acronym is pray until something happens, right? Push. Pray without exception. This one can be hard. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for some of the saints, right? Oh, it says all the saints, but what if I don't like them? Tough. For all the saints. Do you have people that maybe rub you the wrong way sometimes? And sometimes they're in the body of Christ, right? We're supposed to pray for them. One of the greatest times that the Lord worked in my heart and changed my heart towards someone was after he challenged me to pray for them. And let me tell you, it took months before my heart changed. But I kept praying for him and praying for him and praying for him. Keep doing it. Don't let it take months. So pray without exception. And I want us to take some time to share our requests and our burdens this morning. Father, as we sing and then turn to the remembrance of Christ, we pray your blessing on that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to sing one verse of Sweet Hour of Prayer. Let's stand so that we're awake for communion. We have praised God for who He is. He is a loving and gracious Heavenly Father, a gift-giving God. And what He has done for us is sent us His Son, Jesus Christ. We're told in Scripture that greater love has no man than this, and that a man lay down his life for his friends. We're also told that scarcely for a good man would some die, for a righteous man some would even dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 32. This is a time for believers. This doesn't save you, it's just a remembrance. And so if you know the Lord is your Savior, please join us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul writes in verses 26 to 32 about the need for examination. And this is what he says. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. We want to take some time and examine ourselves this morning. Father, Scripture says that though our sins were as scarlet, they can be white as snow. In the blood of the Lamb, we are washed. We are cleansed. And we are made able to have a relationship with you. But Father, while we are on this earth, we still battle with our sin nature. And so, Lord, we need to continually come to you and confess. And when we do, we find you faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So our men stand. Ask Ben if he'd ask the Lord's blessing on the bread.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for the forgiveness of sins that we have. We thank you that we no longer have to suffer the penalty for our sin. That it has been paid for. And as we remember the sacrifice that that took, may we be ever more brought toward you so that we need less and less to be reminded of all that you've done for us. May it be an ever-present thing with us. God, may our hearts reflect it and our lives show it to the world around us. That we know that we have been forgiven of the penalty of our sins and that we are here today to show this world that their sins can be forgiven as well. I pray that we would effectively share that with others around us. And that it would be an ever-present thing in our lives. That we know that you died for our sin. We thank you for all that you have done for us. Not just in your sacrifice for us, but in our everyday lives as well, in the way you provide for us. We thank you for who you are, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We want to sing the chorus of "He Keeps Me Singing." Well, next we have the cup. As men stand once again, I'll ask Jerry if he would ask the Lord's blessing on the cup.
Father God, we humble ourselves this day in remembrance of what you suffered and went through, the beatings that you took, the blood that you shed. We just ask, Lord, that you let us reflect on that and take it. And thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice, that we may be cured by asking and saved without a shadow of doubt. We love you, we praise you, we thank you in your loving Father's name and in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Verse 25 says, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We want to sing just the chorus of number 506. I will sing of my Redeemer. Well, I trust that we have more reason than ever to praise our God. And I pray that we would continually bear one another's burdens. That is part of what it means to be the body of Christ and to be the church. And so as God continues to bless us, may he be seen in our lives. Stand with me. We're going to sing Praise Him, Praise Him, number 106. Amen. Well, once again, since it's already lunchtime, why don't y'all just stay and we'll eat down in the fellowship hall? I think we have some food. Let's pray and then we'll go down and eat. Father, I thank you so much for Jesus Christ. And when we say thank you, it doesn't cover it. It doesn't even begin to reflect the joy and the overwhelming sense of gratitude we have for what you have done. Thank you. Father, I pray that you would bless our fellowship. You'd bless the food to our bodies. That, Father, we would reflect this week on who you are. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Who was and is to come. The Almighty. Father, that we reflect on what you have done, that you speak to us through your word, you speak to us through Christ, and you have given your Son to purchase us sinners. And Father, that we would reflect on how we can bear one another's burdens in the body of Christ. I pray that this week everything we do, everything we say, and everything we think would bring praise and honor and glory to you in your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.